Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, January 12th, 7:43 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners. Blessed day in the Lord here again. We're still in Epiphany, so let's not put Christ in the closet already. You know, I keep hearing people saying, boy, am I glad this is over. And well, the commercialism, I suppose, and I heard even one man say, boy, the day after Christmas, everything gets put down. And so we had a nice little interesting chat about Jesus Christ. You know, you can't, some people want to put him in the closet, but, you know, he's ever present. So at any rate, it's always a good day in the Lord, once again.
Well, very good. It is a good day. It's a little gloomy here in St. Louis,
yeah.
but as I was talking with Pastor Scheer, it's a bright season. Epiphany is a bright season. Christ, the light of the world. And
You know, I told my daughter last night on the telephone, her husband is over in Cambodia. He works for World Vision. He's also in a Christian band called Big Daddy Wee. Some of your listeners probably have heard about him, about the band, but they're over there at World Vision in Cambodia and doing some witnessing over there, and as much as they can. And he was a little anxious when he, you know, 15-hour plane trip over there, but he said, boy, oh boy, do they need Jesus over there, and they're doing what they can there, and certainly other Christian churches, but I think that he's been to Haiti, too, to witness. He and his wife, my daughter, have been to Haiti, and just to share the good news of Jesus with the young people who are just struggling to get one meal a day. So, but I told him, you know, I told my daughter, I said, you know, it may be gloomy out there, but guess what? The sun is there, and it's always shining, and so even behind the clouds, there's always light, and light always penetrates darkness. So, and that's where you get, of course, Christ is the light of the world. So,
amen.
What I want to chat a bit about is certainly coming up in January, we have the Life March that's going to happen in Washington, D.C. I'm not going to be going. I talked with Dr. Gibbs. He's going to be out there, he said, for the first time to join with his wife and a whole thousands of other people, pro-life people. And this, of course, brings to mind the Roe v. Wade controversy that came up in January 22nd, 1973, when Norma McCarvey took her case to the Supreme Court, started in 1968, ended up in 1973. She did not have the abortion, I think, as most of your listeners know, and then joined the Roman Catholic Church in 1995 to get out there and say, this is not what we need to be doing. And, of course, I always have encouraged people that I run into. I tend to ask this not in a rhetorical sense, but how many people who are pro-life and speak about abortion have ever read the case from Justice Blackmun, who wrote the opinion, and Justice Rehnquist, who wrote the dissent. And when I spoke at Taboo this past Monday, I think out of maybe about 80 students that heard me chat on transgenderism, I think about 4 students raised their hand. And so I encouraged them to read it. I said, the case study actually is not that long. There's several pages of footnotes, of course. But I encourage people to read it because then they can really find out that viability just isn't 24 weeks. It's 24 to 28 weeks. And there's other statements that Justice Blackmun makes that, as we say in the, I guess, the vernacular, he shoots himself in the foot in terms of the child that's in the womb. So, and that, of course, came down with one can have an abortion in the first trimester, and then, of course, that applies state by state on how many agree to abortion in the second and third trimester. So so I really want to encourage people to take a look at that because clearly, from our viewpoint within the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we are very, very much against the whole elective abortion issue because we are God's creatures, and in Christ, he's restored that image in us through water, word, and faith, and life does begin at conception, as we say, and you are a human being. So so that's sort of being sort of the entree into this article that came out of Glamour magazine. This thing, shock some of your people, but those who know me realize I'm always looking at different magazines, especially when you're married and you have five daughters and they have all these magazines.
I thought that was your favorite.
No. And so I'm looking through these magazines to see what's going on in the life of women, and I run across this magazine article in the December of last year. What do you see when you look at this image? And it is an ultrasonogram of a child in the womb. And so this writer, C.B. Zerwick, goes into Planned Parenthood clinics and then also crisis pregnancy centers. And she interviews different people who decided to have the abortion, and then other people, of course, in the crisis pregnancy center who decided not to have the abortion. And in both cases, they all saw the image of a child in the womb, and they basically said, look, and I, for example, one lady says, I'll probably keep it in the drawer, that is this picture, with my Social Security card and other important papers, but I went ahead and got the abortion anyway because I already have two kids and I can't support the third child. So here is a family that decided to have the elective abortion because they had too many other children. And then there's other stories in here in terms of inside the abortion clinic, as they call it. It's one lady says, if I do have the abortion, at least I have something. It's sad, but the sonogram gives me a memory. And she went ahead and had the abortion. So it's kind of a situation where people need to know that many of the reasons that people go into these clinics, these Planned Parenthood clinics, which were began by Margaret Sanger back in the 1920s, primarily as, and she was one child of, I think, about nine children, into birth control issues. That's how she began. And then very quickly went into the abortion business through Planned Parenthood. And she died in the late 1960s. That people go into this and then they are funded. And what's so striking and really upsetting about this to me, I told my wife last night, is that the organization that they quote in here in the clinic they go to, this is the name of the clinic, Falls Church Healthcare Abortion Clinic. So they use the word church as a hook to draw people in to their clinic. And it's called, and you can look it up on the internet, Falls Church Healthcare Abortion Clinic. Some people would say, oh, I don't want to look at that stuff. There's nothing gruesome about it, but I will encourage your listeners, they need to find out what other people are thinking. And they do show pictures of the room where these abortions are taking place. I've always been one who says, you need to see this. This is, you know, so that you can talk about these things with people, because very much more and more people are not interested in dealing with Psalm 139:16. You knew me when I was in my unformed substance. And they really want to talk about, so I guess you might call what we call human reason, which is the handmaiden of faith. And I think that in these cases, we need to know what other people are thinking and to let them know that even though they say this embryo is a mass of cells, that's precisely what they are, 3 trillion of them. And the other side of the coin, of course, in this article deals with the crisis pregnancy center. And, of course, those women who went in to have advice about whether or not to have the elective abortion saw this child, and they're very clear that even though they couldn't distinguish much in some of the early stages, this was their child and they're going to take care of it. So there was a huge dichotomy in this article, but it, of course it ends in a very interesting way when they say, this lady says, people assume abortion is simple. It's not. Women are weighing this reason against that reason, what their heart wants versus what their head wants. It's such a huge choice. And I suppose if somebody were to read this, they would say, yeah, it probably is. But from the standpoint of a Christian who was living the life of Christ in this world, I'm not going to say there aren't struggles on this when one, it's not unexpected pregnancy, but a child that is created out of wedlock comes along, that we have to remind her that try to avoid the word unintended pregnancy. What about saying the phrase unintended child or unnecessary child is what it really turns out to be. So And the scriptures always talk about necessary, because we deal with the incarnation. And the incarnation is quite clear that Jesus Christ became just like one of us in every way. So once again, be tuned in to all of the various articles that are out there, and they will be coming on Roe v. Wade. And get back into the scriptures of Psalm 51, 5, Jeremiah 1, Psalm 139, but especially the incarnation. And certainly we just celebrated the incarnation of God on Christmas Day.
Absolutely. And we will be following the March for Life and the LCMS Life Conference as well. So folks can join us for that. January 22nd and 23rd, we'll be following that. Hopefully we'll get to check in with some folks during his time and Faith and Family, those 2 days, the 22nd and 23rd, to hear how things are going at the conference and the March for Life this year.
Yeah, will you be going yourself? Or?
I will not be going. Craig D'Onofrio will be going, though.
Oh,
I believe he's planning on going, and so we'll check in with him and some of the other folks from the LCMS who will be there, and the LCMS Life Conference, which is just going to be phenomenal. The speakers that are lined up for this year are outstanding. We've had a chance to talk with some of them, and I think I would encourage it. I'm not sure if registration is still open. I think it may be. If it is, it's definitely worth it to go. It's going to be a great conference. So, and happening in conjunction with the March for Life, I think it's definitely worth checking out. You said Dr. Gibbs is going. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's going to go. In fact, I think he's given a bit of a talk. He said something on we need to be more tuned into the cultural shifts that are occurring in the language that we use in dealing with elective abortion. You know, something like St. Paul, come let us reason together, because when you deal with people who are struggling over these elective abortions, frequently walking up to them and saying, you know, this is not what God wants, and you start to use a lot of scripture, they're not willing to listen to you right away. It doesn't mean your discussions aren't based on the scriptures. They clearly are. But to talk to people about why they want to have this elective abortion, like those who stand outside, like the Planned Parenthood clinic down on Forest Park Avenue, the counselors, and they often want to say, hey, you know, how about this image? And to use this ultrasonogram image is another way to get people to think about what that creature in the womb there is a human being. And so it doesn't mean we're not wanting to use the scriptures. I think some people might be take offense at that, but the point is that having a picture of a child in the womb, I keep one in my Bible here, is always a good way to demonstrate that this is a human being and that this is a creature of God and has a life now. And to prevent that life from coming out into the light of the world and from our viewpoint for baptism, for confirmation, so forth, once again, those are the things that have to be discussed, because the person who decides to have the abortion, guess what? They too were an embryo, and that has to be brought to them too. So there are ways to discuss this with the foundation of the scriptures just right there with you. So This is stuff that the Life Conference is going to be chatting about and bringing to the forefront.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conference. The Association of it's APLOG, AAPLOG, American Association of pro-life obstetricians and gynecologists.
Right.
Yeah, the representative from there, one of their leaders, will be speaking, and her name slips my mind at the moment. But I had a chance to talk with her about a little over a month ago, I believe. And man, she's got some great things to share. Plenty of other speakers as well lined up for the conference, so it's going to be a good conference.
Yeah, I've been to a couple marches and conferences, and I think I spoke at one, but they always have different speakers every year that I think give a broad strokes of the brush about what life is all about. And I think that from our viewpoint, it would be good for your listeners to stay tuned to his time in Faith and Family and other programs you're going to have on this, because I know Craig and saw him at the Taboo Conference, and it'll be very helpful in explaining a lot of this when you're on the radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And coming up after the Life Conference, we'll have some guests that attended the conference are going to talk about pro-life parenting, raising children with that worldview. So that'll be a good conference, or good conversation coming up as well.
That's going to be quite important because parenting, of course, as you well know, to raise children, instruction, discipline, the Lord, Paul writes in Ephesians, is very, very important.
Very good. Thank you much, Dr. Weiss. We'll talk again next week.
You bet. God peace to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Also to you. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the Daily New Testament Reading. Hope you can join us for that right here on Worldwide KFUO.